Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Brandon, I'm debating. I'm going to go halfway between my normal voice and my Faith Friday voice.
Ooh, yes.
Yes, low, Faith Friday,
quiet,
welcome
faithful.
To it.
Sure.
Today's theme,
calm.
Freedom from Shame, a meditation that came from our good friends at the Center of Action and Contemplation titled Purity is Not Holiness, comes from pastor and theologian Nadia Boltz-Weber. A big fan of the Nadia Boltz-Weber for like 10 years. She's got a great story. I don't know if you know it, Brandon. She was a comedian, like literally a stand-up comedian in clubs for like a number of years. Left that, went to seminary, became a pastor.
Yeah, I was aware of that. I actually, You asked me on a couple of shows a while back about what I subscribe to. Hers is one of my Substack subscriptions. I really like her. I find her to be incredibly interesting as a person, but I also like her faith story.
I'm trying to think of the word. She's inspiring, but like provocative. She's very provocative. I like that you can't read her stuff about faith and be like, nah, I don't know. She makes you think about what you really believe. And I think that angers a lot of people.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I guess I've never really thought about that. She is provocative. She is pushing at the boundaries of things. I like those type of people. I find myself to be a little bit like that, where I'm not happy with people that give me trite answers. For instance, a bunch of buddies are planning a Mother's Day event, right? Like it's this big, and I always love that people get all, we got Mother's Day, we got to do this. I'm like, and I want to push in them saying, number one, it's fake holiday. Number two is, why are you putting so much emphasis on this? Because I do want people, this is probably one of my great failings, but I want people to actually have to back up why they do the things that they do. What value does Mother's Day have is what I'm asking them.
I don't know if you know this, but it is Faith Fridays and you're bashing Mother's Day. Could we,
because that's a holy day.
I
was talking about Nadia Boltz-Weber challenging people. That's what my point is. I like that. I like that she challenges people, especially around their faith and their ideology.
Let's hear from Nadia Boltz-Weber. Purity is not holiness. To connect to the holy is to access the deepest, juiciest parts of our spirits. Perhaps this is why we set up so many boundaries, protections, and rules around both sex and religion. But when the boundaries, protections, and rules become more important than the sacred things they are intended to protect, casualties ensue. But no matter how much we strive for purity in our minds, bodies, spirits, or ideologies, purity is not the same as holiness. It's just easier to define what is pure than what is holy, so we pretend that they're interchangeable. Now that is good stuff.
Oh, I love this. I really did love this read. I think that her idea, I mean, it's such a contradictory statement, and I think that for most, especially Christians, but I'm sure all religions suffer from this to some degree or another, of, you know, most of them are like, you got to do these things in order to be in God's good graces. And if you sin, you're not in God's good graces. She's saying,
sounds like
no,
the Pharisees.
If you're not sinning, you're not in God's good graces. In a sense, she's saying that the Pharisees tried to catch his disciples for eating without washing their hands, because back the Jews had created all these laws that were purity laws. They weren't bad laws. They were like to protect them. Cleanliness, even
not eating shellfish,
circumcision, all those things were basically
keeping people,
health laws.
Women with periods outside of
they were health, whether or not that was a good idea or not, but it was all about health. But the problem is when it no longer has real merit, and I feel that about all rules and laws, that every single rule and law needs to have some sort of judicial review constantly. You need to be looking at it saying, why are we doing this? Is this actually, so like a case of like, well, no, we had to fire Johnson because, you know, he read a newspaper on the toilet or whatever. It was like, well, wait a second. I get why that's probably not necessarily a good thing, but maybe in this instance, there was a reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, what laws get in the way of doing the right thing is what I think she's pushing at.
Yeah. And just to this, I kind of grew up in the evangelical and there was this book, Kiss Dating Goodbye.
God forgives.
And it chronicled this relationship between a young male and female that were courting, and they didn't kiss until they got married.
Right.
I wondered if you know how that ended.
Well, that ended really poorly, because that dude's no longer even a Christian.
Yeah, and they got divorced.
Right.
So, like, but they were the example of purity. So it kind of gets to the heart of what you're saying. It's like, why are you pure?
How many people that read that book are still practicing that flawed?
Ooh.
The guy that wrote it himself is like, this is a completely flawed and ridiculous thing. But how many of those people never had enough introspection to say, wait a second, this is ridiculous. You're basically putting these bizarre rules in place, right? It's the same thing about drives me crazy. And it is a God Talk Friday, so I could say it. When young evangelicals, so I, as you know, this story has been well documented. You were raised in a hallelujah evangelical Orange County world, and I was raised Catholic, so
not
a little bit different.
Yes. Okay.
But brought into an evangelical world where I was like, oh, but I remember these young women would be like, I'm dating Jesus. Jesus is my boyfriend. I'm like, no, you're not. You're not dating Jesus. He's not your boyfriend. That is the most ridiculous thing. And I know you know people to this day that would have said that. Jesus is my boyfriend. I'm like, he's not. You're a lunatic. You're an insecure young woman who doesn't quite understand how romance actually works. And so you're layering this on with Jesus is my boyfriend. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, this purity thing is interesting, right? And purity is like all sorts of things. I think we're making it about sex, right? But I keep thinking about, like, I didn't get married till I was 30.
Oh.
My biological clock of a man wanted me to start getting it on when I was about 16, right?
Right.
So that's 14 years of, like, going against, in theory, how God created you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a really easy example of, like, purity. Like, if you're going to only hold hands until you're 30, why are you really going against God who made you?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, and this is probably a little bit more of a deep share, but it is a Faith Friday, so
people
listen. I was married before I was married. I got divorced, but I was it was young, no kids, got married. It was a huge mistake. It was one of the great blessings of my entire life, both the marriage and afterwards because of the people I met through it and all that. But what was interesting is after I got divorced, it was truly drove me into what we call, you reference this a lot, liminal space, space of suffering, space of healing space. It's this crazy, like, empty space where we just allow ourselves to be. And so for about 5 years after I got divorced, I was purposely, and in fact, until I got married to my now wife, I was like, I will not mess around with any woman. I just was like, I don't care. I'm going to be completely pure as much as I possibly can. And now I'm not saying I don't want to get into you bashing and saying this or that, but what I'm saying, the reason I did that was not because I was like super holy or I wanted or whatever, or wanted to follow the rules of the church because I didn't really care. Why I did that was I felt like I needed to understand who I was. So I was willing to push aside my own natural inclinations to basically say, who are you? How did you get here? I felt like I had been in this massive mess that I needed to figure out. And so I would argue that 5 years of time, it was really more about 7 years until I got married, was probably the most important spiritual time of my life. I had to wrestle with these things. Now, it doesn't mean that it's over. It's never over. But I do think that that's the difference between following rules because someone told you and following some sort of discipline to help better your own spiritual life.
Some would call what you just said a humble brag, but that's not going to be me. So here's the deal.
Oh my gosh.
Holiness, I like Nadia's talking about this idea of holiness is this sacred connection between the real you and a God,
yes,
the source of the universe. That's what it is. That is that, because that's truth, right? That's not a showy. I'm not showing off, which I think purity often is showing off.
Well, wait a second. Let me ask you a serious question. I mean, you and I have been friends for a long, long time. We do a show together. We've talked in thousands of conversations.
Yes.
But I'm not I'm not sure I've ever heard you express a time. Well, I know when your father died, that was a really, really tough liminal time for you. But has there been, other than that, has there ever been a time where you've just sort of had where you had to step back to find your own holiness, if that makes sense? Like from the rule book, from all the things that have been prescribed, maybe as a husband, father, whatever, but just to say, I need to sit in this for a while to figure this out.
I would say that I'm currently in that.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would you
just
say
because
that?
Because I feel like, I think I was a regular churchgoer type guy for a long time.
Oh, that's true.
And just kind of a rote, like And I feel like it's only been in the 5 to 10 years that I'm like, you know, I don't have to do it the way everybody else does it. I don't got to go to church and like it. I don't have to read the Bible. I don't have to raise my kids as Christians. Like, I don't have to do all that stuff.
What?
I would say I'm currently in that sort of unwinding from all of that.
So, well, that's a whole fodder for another show about how we raise our kids. Yeah. But that is really interesting to me. I don't know if I've ever heard you express that in that way before, because I know you guys take it to church. I know your wife has a very serious belief system.
I just remember the evangelicals beating into my head saying the number one thing you can do is raise your kids to be Christians. And I thought, I mean, I drank the Kool-Aid for a while.
We probably need to table that, because I was just thinking about that very same thing about these people that raise their kids to indoctrinate them. And I look at them like, have you never paid attention to how many families that do that end up with kids that are not at all, have no faith, hate their parents, you know, or they're just robots themselves to indoctrinate the next generation? It's not like they're saying, hey, I want to raise you to fully understand in your own way, to come to a deeper understanding of the mysteries of God and the universe. So I think I'm going to table that for now, because we need to come back to that. That's an important topic.
Yeah, yeah. And just this idea of holiness. Can you shape your kids to be holy, which is knowing who you are and then projecting that to a connection with the source of the universe, as opposed to projecting, peacocking purity to the people around you.
Right. And she references in this about the woman who pours over the expensive perfume over Jesus' feet and washes his feet with her hair, with Martha, and about how she wept, and people around her were like, what are you doing? We could sell that. Even his disciples were like, we could sell that and feed a lot of people. And Jesus was like, you're missing the point here, man. This woman is pouring her soul out right now. Quit worrying about things, even if they make sense on the surface. Take a step back and say, what is really going on? I think that's the point of this, and that's what we should all be striving to do.
Yeah, are you taking a left and looking at purity, or are you taking a right and looking at holiness? Like, what are your motives trying to do?
Wow. Well, Larry, thank you for teaching me about holiness and purity and all those things in between.
Thank you. toujours.